I think they like you, Steve.
Hello. Hi. Welcome to Taco Tuesday.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Hi, 610.
No place to go.
Show number 1246.
No place to go.
Keep it up, man. Keep it up. Crank that up.
No place to go. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going.
Welcome to another edition of the Steve Cochran Show.
Yes, I'm going.
And in these troubled times in which we live, I'd like to start with the story of a cookie yesterday afternoon. Every Monday afternoon, I have the great pleasure, Dave. You got to get me. I'm telling you, Dave, you know, Mary Vandeveld and I know you got to get yourself one of these. My perfect 2 3/4-year-old granddaughter, mm-hmm. Abigail Grace. So every Monday afternoon, I get to hang out. Just me and Abigail Grace. Abigail Grace and me. We're just hanging out. Monday afternoons. It's our time. And there is a gelato place in Lincoln Square that was our, you know, regular go-to in the summertime. It closed. I don't know what happened.
For the winter or just closed?
I think it's just closed.
Yeah, it's gelato. That's the gelato business.
Is that right?
That's just the gelato business.
I didn't realize gelato was fly-by-night like that.
Is this the actual Lincoln Square, that one
yeah.
block there?
Yeah. Yeah, right in the square. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we go to the gelato place. Gelato place not open. Now what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, there's a Potbelly's down the street, which has the...
I was going to say, you can get the shake.
Or the oatmeal chocolate chip cookie. The oatmeal chocolate chip cookie and chocolate milk. Not for me, for her. I'm too old for chocolate milk.
That's a lot
milk.
Of chocolate.
You're never too old for chocolate milk.
Smoking like a grandmother, did you hear? That's a lot of chocolate. Did I mention I'm the grandfather? I'm supposed to do this? So we're sitting there, and she's having the cookie, and I'm having a bottle of water, and I'm trying to get a bite of the cookie, but let's be honest, the kid's got the cookie. And I just said to her at one point, because she never has a bad day, I said, do you like your cookie? And she put her hands on the side of her face, like, you know, the Home Alone face. She put her hands on the side of her face, and she went, it is delicious. That's all you need. I don't care how bad your day is. I don't care how bad your week is. I don't care how screwed up the country is.
Did she get chocolate all over her cheeks?
Well, you know, it's funny. It's funny you say that, Grandma, because she had chocolate on her neck. She dropped a little bit of cookie on her neck. So I had to clean her up before there was any evidence that, you know, her mom or dad would see. Because what kind of irresponsible person am I that I would let her drop a cookie on her neck?
And she goes, or let the parents know you're eating the cookie.
Oh, no, I told them that in front. And because my job is to do what I want.
Right.
Yeah. And Abigail said, silly Abigail, the cookie goes in your mouth. So she knows where it goes. She just dropped a little cookie.
Mm-hmm. She's like that Seinfeld character that only talks in third person.
Yeah. She does do that. She does do that very much.
Yeah, now, is there... Jimmy. That's what I was just...
Jimmy likes this. Jimmy likes that.
Are you able to maybe turn this into some type of profitable endeavor? On Mondays, you hang out with Abigail. People could book you two to put them in a good mood. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Because she can't quite get herself there right now. But if you...
I would merely be the transportation.
Like a happy consultant.
Yeah. 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, she walks in.
Bill by the 15 minutes.
That's the thing, right? Because I go there. I get to Ross and Lauren's. That's the lovely parents. By the way, they're great parents. It'll make you feel good, too, Dave, when you see your kids doing this.
They posted a very nice family picture on, I think, on Facebook.
It was on Facebook. I saw it myself. I liked it.
But don't you think, Mary Vandeveld, that you find that? I mean, I assume you've found this as well. When you watch your kids be parents, it's something you never even thought about. And it just makes you feel good how great they are.
I can't believe how my son and my daughter-in-law are. I just, whoa.
So I just say something? I have no say in this, mm-hmm. Steve.
I don't know that that's true.
You do not have a say.
No, you do not.
But aren't your... Wait, Dave, aren't your kids pet parents?
No. They are. Yeah. I have a grand dog.
A grand dog,
so do I.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to break this to you. It's not the same.
No, I guess not.
Well, get ready for the texters, because there's plenty of people that are going to say that it is. Those are their grandbabies also.
Okay. Don't give a dog a cookie. It's a bad idea. But the right dog will make you feel good. I'll give you that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Dave, if you need me to talk to your daughter-in-law about
that. I think we tried that already, Steve. That did not go well.
Keep Steve away from your daughter-in-law.
I will say this. Lincoln Square was my stomping ground in 1996.
Was the gelato place there then?
It was. There was a gelato. If you're talking about the gelato place that's right where the bend happens, right in Lincoln Square on Lincoln.
In the square itself, I'm talking about. Not the bend, but in the square itself.
Gelato is a arbiter of gentrification. There's a lot of gelato comes when the yuppies come.
Is the frozen yogurt place still there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 1996, we lived above the Lincoln Sausage Market, which is right there,
and
we
had a bar. Apartment.
Did that stink?
Yes, that's the punchline of this story.
Oh, sorry,
No. The above the Lincoln Sausage Market and the Hansa Clipper, which is right there, which is a big now it's a hipster bar. It was a German bar at the time, and the apartment was $600 a month for a 3-bedroom. And it was the summer of 95 when it was the heat wave.
Oh, I remember that.
And there was no
air. We had hundreds of people die.
Yeah, no. Well, we came close. Luckily, we were 21 years old or whatever. But but it smelled like a combination of German sausage and Raid.
Now, I can imagine. Were you drinking much at that point?
A little bit.
I can't imagine like waking up with a hangover to that.
It was. We just moved in and we're like, oh, what's that smell? What's that chemical smell?
Let me tell you how bad that is.
Oh, it's roach treatment.
Abigail couldn't fix that.
Yeah, that's a Lincoln Square. I know.
Lincoln Square is almost too hip now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been lately?
I lived there for a short time because that's where my husband lived before we bought our house.
Yeah. That's when you two were shacking up.
Yes, yeah. And it was
living in sin.
I find Lincoln Square to be terribly inconvenient to get to.
It is very difficult to get to. It's difficult to get to. It's difficult to leave. So,
but it's a neighborhood that's got a lot of good stuff.
We did a,
so you don't have to
tons of families.
Yeah, there's strollers everywhere. So I don't have a stroller, so that was an unnecessary perk for me. But
it used to be Lederhosen. There was no strollers. It was just
Lederhosen. Listen, I would recommend if you are planning on living in Lincoln Square without children. And does Steve still live there?
No, they recently moved.
Yeah, they moved because of the pressure. All you need is a stroller. Just get a stroller, even if you don't have a kid.
And put a dog
in
it.
And then you'll be welcome.
You know, I know you're kidding, but sort of not.
I'm really kidding. No. I'm really kidding. It's a conversational nod thing that goes on, right?
Have you ever looked in a stroller and you're going to say, what a cute baby, and there's a dog in there?
Yeah, that's disturbing.
It's like, yeah, that's whoa.
Different. That's different.
What a cute little baby. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's get to the top 6 and 6 right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Stand by, Mary Vandevelde. We're going to need a update on Grocery Joe. Grocery Store Joe? Is Grocery Joe? What do we call
Grocery
this dude?
Grocery Store Joe.
Grocery Store Joe.
Mm-hmm.
But let's start in Turkey. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, having promised to reveal the full, quote, full nakedness of a Saudi plot to kill the journalist Jamal Khashoggi, and said today a team, including generals, had flown to Istanbul to carry out the mission, including whatever inside help they may have had from the Turkish government, where Erdogan, if you prefer, said that regardless of rank, people are going to pay the price for this. He is allegedly in possession of an audio tape details the plot even prior to it happening. So where he's coming up with all this intelligence, we're not sure. Though we do believe there is video from spy-like cameras that probably exist in every embassy and consulate in the world. Not Turkish spy-like cameras, but, you know, we do the same thing in various places. The difference is we're not killing people in that particular vein. So that's item number one. Next, Officer Terry Hill wrote 44 tickets for $600 to those others using handicapped placards. Do you know anybody that's ever done this? Where they got a handicapped parking placard and they went, it's just for a month. It's my mom's. It's whatever. I don't know how you do that.
I'm sure people did. I'm sure. I mean, that's why that's a
story. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if your mom or your dad or whatever, or somebody in your family legitimately needs one and you go park with those? Seriously?
Yeah.
Not good. Now, you got to be careful when you go too vigilante on this because a few years ago, I was not in a great mood. It was pre-Abigail. And somebody got out of a car. You know, doing just fine. I went, hey, are you supposed to park there? And then they walked around to the other side of the car and they helped out their dad.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So be careful.
Well, this story is about the Costco, which is down on 1901 22nd Street. Yeah, I know that Costco well. that is a jam-packed parking lot, so you can understand why people are like, maybe I'll rig up a handicap spot, because they have a million of them. There's like, in the front of the store, there's 15, 17 parking spots.
17, it says here, yeah.
And that, yeah, and you're circling around looking for one spot in the alternate parking lot that you have to shuttle bus to the front, and I can understand why people are like, you know what, no one's looking. Yeah,
so, you can understand why they think that.
Yeah.
Well, Officer Terry Hill is looking. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so nice job by Terry Hill. And by the way, there's a specific math formula that goes to how many handicapped parking spaces you're supposed to have.
Mm.
I don't know what the formula is, but there's a reason they have 17.
There you go.
Next, young people are suing. Opening arguments begin on Monday in a lawsuit against the Trump administration. 21 plaintiffs from age 11 to 22 are demanding that the government fight climate change. I mean, this is largely a symbolic lawsuit, but I think it's interesting to see these young kids, 11 to 22, stepping up for their planet, too. Yeah. It's a cool exercise.
I was surprised that it didn't say 11 to 22 and then a man named Justin Kaufman.
Yeah, right. I'm ready to go.
You're fired up.
I read a story this morning. The first study of its kind looked at the dietary habits of a certain number of human beings. They did the stool samples and the diet diary, the whole bit, and they determined that there is a unhealthy number of microplastics in all of our diets. Meaning that now from all the plastics that got into the ocean, and we think, oh, it's just a floating barge of trash, that is finding its way back into our food.
Yeah, I mean, you got to ingest a little. Yeah, a little bit. Dave, how's plastic go with kale?
Actually, yeah, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
It adds a little bit of barbecue flavor to shrimp.
Ah, that's nice.
Okay. When you barbecue.
Nice. Next. Archaeology. A couple of interesting science stories. Steve, stand by. I may ask you to be Mr. Science here shortly. Archaeologists have found the oldest intact shipwreck at the bottom of the Black Sea off the Bulgarian shore. Guess how old this boat is.
1 million years old.
You just ruined this game, didn't you?
30,000 years.
2,500 years old.
Mm.
It's kind of amazing when you think about it, really. 2,500 years is a long time for an old wooden ship to sit in the bottom of the sea.
They said it's amazingly preserved, and one of the things that it helps indicate is that these people did not just hug the shorelines like they've originally thought.
Yeah, they actually wondered.
How did they know how old it is?
There's a sign inside of it.
Established.
Established and whatever.
Yeah,
established. They carbon date it. They,
how do they
pull
figure
some, they
out?
Pull some of the wood away. Because everything on the planet has a radiation effect to it.
And so, also the fashion.
Yeah, there's wood benches. There's the rowing the styling. Benches. And the
And all the skeletons down there, they're like, oh, look what they're wearing.
The heck you're talking about.
Then they found the registration.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the internet. You Google
license
it.
License and registration.
You Google it. You take the registration number, you Google it, and there it is. Next. A glimmer of hope for Chicago's grocery store Joe on Dancing with the Stars. This guy cannot dance. I know he's charming, but he cannot dance. I've seen enough clips.
So
he
cute.
Cannot dance.
He's so cute.
And yet he continues to win because the audience loves him, or continues to advance, I should say.
Well, nobody advanced last night because they did the old elimination thing at the end, and then they go, it's Disney week. Nobody's going home. And I'm like, dang it. Now we got to wait another week.
Who's the crazy Italian judge that keeps standing up when he yells
Bruno
at people?
Bruno Tomnioli.
Bruno actually looked mad at grocery stores.
Bruno just wants him to go.
Yeah, he's just not happy.
And when Bruno wants somebody to go, it's really, really
bad. Yeah,
because
he loves everybody.
Yeah.
Next. Kanye West gave, this is an interesting amount. Does anybody know why?
Yes.
Oh, you do know why.
Yeah.
$73,000 to Chicago mayoral candidate Amara Enya. Who's backed by Chance the Rapper in that press conference last week. So why 73,000?
Because Amara Enya, when she ran in 2015, she didn't close out her campaign account.
Okay.
And so she failed to file quarterly reports. So she was fined by the Board of Elections $73,000.
Oh, so he's taking care of the fine.
So he's taking care of the fine.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That's the most sensible thing Kanye's done in weeks.
It was a big issue when she announced she was going to run, because they're like, where are you going to find that money? And obviously, this is where she found it, Kanye West.
Turns out he had it in the car, the change container that we all carry around.
So it's Kanye and Chance now.
Yeah, back together again for the first time.
Well, it's just interesting that's a political party, Kanye West and Chance the Rapper.
They should come up with a name for that party. And it can't be something basic like the rap party or the hip-hop party. It's got to be something. Right. We'll get that for you before 10.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Speaking of Bill Conforti, he's a big supporter of young athletes. And he's been doing something forever that I wanted to mention. The Hamlin Park Annual Boxing Show. It's Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Jesse White, your state secretary, your secretary of state, I should say, is one of the big sponsors of this as well. And the Hamlin Park Annual Boxing Show gives guidance to neighborhood's youth and gives them a path. It's not the path that could lead them in the wrong direction. And they got a great fight card on Thursday night. Starts at 7 o'clock. Tickets are more than reasonable. Call today. Help out the neighborhood and see some great boxing. 773-661-0606 for information. 773-661-0606. Highly recommended. Home of the lightweight world champion Olympic hero David Diaz, as a matter of fact. Let's come through that. And Fraser Kendo is also there. Did you ever box, anybody? Sam, did you ever box?
I've done boxing as a radio bit.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. My father was a...
Christina Aguilera had a boxing video, so we had to... Went back when I was at B96.
Ah, B96, you crazy kids. My father was a boxing coach in the big one, WW2. And whenever my brother and I or our cousins would get after each other, he'd throw gloves at us and he'd go settle it. And then we'd go in the backyard and we'd beat the hell out of each other.
Wow.
So, but at least we had gloves on.
Yeah, right.
But boxing is, well, they're amazing athletes. They really are. And anyway, 773-661-0606 for the Hamlin Park Annual Boxing Show. You met somebody last night.
I did. I was at the Luke Donald Taste of the First Tee.
How's he doing, by the way?
He's doing great. It was the 10th annual wine event that they do that raises money for the First Tee. And my husband was emceed a panel with Luke Donald, Patrick Sharp, and Ian Happ.
That's an interesting group.
Yeah, they all have golf ties, and it was a great job. But after they finished, some people came up to me, and they were like, oh, we love you. We listen every morning. And can we get a picture? And it made me feel pretty important that Patrick Sharp, Ian Happ, and Luke Donald are standing there. And they wanted, the husband wanted a picture of me. It's Jim and Rana Strife.
Okay.
Technically,
hi, Strifes.
Jim is the listener, but they're.
Well, what's wrong with Rana? Why can't she listen?
She very specifically kept saying he listens to you guys every morning, so it made me think that she maybe is not tuning us in.
Come on, Rana.
But they are best friends with Pat Goss and his wife Lindy, the Northwestern golf coach who also happens to be Luke Donald's golf coach.
Yeah, he's a great coach.
And
Dave Bennett's teacher, by the way.
Jim specifically said
one of them, I should say.
He likes your voice, but he likes mine better.
Well, that's fine.
And he hopes that I talk about Kristen Cavallari more.
Really?
That's a
well, no wonder his wife's mad.
No, he did not say that. I'm just adding that myself. That.
I should also
but
say
they're very nice. So
I should also say that Dave works extensively with Emil Esposito as well as he continues to perfect his game.
And I emceed that event the first couple of years they had it, but I guess they found Pat Boyle and liked him better.
Yeah, they've moved on.
Yeah, I got fired.
It was the tantrums.
Well, it might have been, but I thought they were. I was within my rights.
Kid of the week coming up. Meet Emily in a few minutes. Before we get to that, we get to the headlines next on 720 WGN. Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah, I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better out their smile.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's a great group of kids, and an honor always to have them on. And where's yours? Where's your kid? The kid you know, the kid you've heard about, the kid you think we should know about. Get your Kid of the Week entries in, and Sam Bragg, at this time, please tell us how.
WGNradio.com and search Kid of the Week.
And it's that simple. You send in your entry, and then we take it from there. Great kids doing great stuff, and one of them on the phone right now, it's Emily Moore. Good morning, Emily.
Hi.
How old are you?
I'm 17.
So it's what, junior year?
Senior?
Look at you. Yeah. What are you going to do next year?
Not 100% sure yet. I've got it narrowed down to 3 colleges.
What's your number one school?
Bradley University in Peoria.
My son went there.
Really?
Yeah, I'd recommend it. Yeah, absolutely. Nice people there.
We visited a bunch. I really like it.
What do you want to study?
Elementary education and special education.
That's great. You know, one of the great growth areas for teachers, if not the number one, is special education.
Yeah.
So you're on the right track there. What's your backup plan, your safety school, your number two?
St. Ambrose University in Davenport, Iowa.
That's another fine school. Yeah, and you know what? You're doing a good thing. You know, you're doing a good thing, Emily, because you're close enough by where your parents can still see you. You can come home when you want, and you're far enough away where you don't have to.
3 hours was about my sweet spot. I wanted to be about 3 hours away.
Well, hey, Emily, great. Is your mom putting a lot of pressure on you to go to her school?
No, not really.
Yeah. But behind the scenes, she's working those angles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Sure,
there's a little encouragement.
Well, congratulations on your success so far. Let's talk about you in front of you. You're a senior at Cary Grove High School. You do the Buddy Program and Interact, and you need to tell us what they are. What is the Buddy Program?
Okay, so CG Buddies is what we have at Cary Grove, and it's a program and club designed to intermingle the special ed kids at our school mm-hmm. with the mainstream students.
Sure.
So we do after school events like bowling or going to the movies or mini golf about once a month, and then I also volunteer in the classroom and in the gym class with them.
And
so in the classroom we do coffee cart or cooking, or we deliver mail, just a bunch of little random jobs. And then gym class is adapted PE for them.
And Interact, is that a different flavor of that same task?
No, Interact is a volunteering organization.
Okay, well, listen, you're already way ahead of the curve here. And I don't know if you ever listened to the show, but I have an older brother who has special needs, and he didn't have access to these kind of programs. And I wish he had, because it's kids like you that make a difference. Where's the inspiration coming from for special needs help?
I have a mentor at my church
okay.
who runs the program at Cary Grove, and she started getting me involved, and she's kept me in it since sophomore year.
Justin, say hi to our friend Emily.
Hi, Emily. You also teach religious school. You've done second graders and first graders. What have you learned about teaching when you're teaching such young kids?
Well, I want to go into teaching the younger grades of elementary ed. So, I mean, honestly, teaching them has taught me that nothing is impossible. everything that comes out of their mouth is a surprise, and it's just.
Cool.
It's hilarious what they can come up with.
Yeah, it's just cool. Absolutely. Sandberg, say hi to our friend Emily.
In addition to all of that stuff that you're doing, you also have run cross-country 4 years.
Yeah, I've run cross-country for 4 years, and I did track my underclassmen years.
It always amazes me when I hear the schedule because, there's days, as you know, that I don't get out of here till 10:15 or 10:30. Your schedule, you get up early, you go to school, and then you have after-school stuff, or
yeah.
you've got a cross-country meet, and then at some point you got to do homework. So what time do you go to bed?
11:30 usually.
Last night I called Emily because her mom had emailed me, and then I was at an event, and I just wanted to confirm the number. And so it was 9:45, and I was like, is this too late to call? And Pat said, go ahead and call her. She's probably doing homework. So I called. She picked up right away, and I'm... She didn't sound like she was heading to bed at all.
This blows apart the theory that, high school kids need 12-hour sleep, doesn't it?
Yeah. That doesn't happen. That cross-country schedule, though, my stepdaughter and stepson just finished their seasons, Emily, and it's a grind. It's 6 days
a
week.
It is, yeah.
I mean, you can't...
We've got 8 weeks of meets on Saturdays and then 3 Tuesday meets. And then last week we started our... last week was regionals, this week is sectionals, and then
wow.
state.
Yeah.
So you got a pretty good team.
Yeah.
And how about individually? How's your year?
Pretty good. I had a pretty good season.
If I were to try to keep up with you, would I have any chance at all?
Not sure.
No, that's nice of you to say, but the answer would be no.
The answer would be no.
Yeah. Emily, it's a pleasure to have you on. You're a great inspiration, and I'm happy to say you're Kid of the Week, and we have some nice prizes for you. Sandberg, tell us what she's won.
You are going to get a Lou Malnati's pizza gift card and a gift card to Aft Electronics.
Thank you.
Thanks, and keep up the great work, and once you're elected president, please keep us in mind for an interview. Have a great day. What a nice girl.
Yeah, she is. She just sounded just that perky at 9:45 last night, so I'm thinking she probably just stayed up.
Oh, man, and to teach second graders and first graders, just think of all of
awful.
The snot.
I know.
Listen, you both. Listen.
Apparently, you missed the joy. You missed the joy in her voice when she was talking about how great they are and the wonderful things they say. And what you two got out of it was snotty noses.
No, she said the things that come out of their mouth. And I was like, yeah, phlegm.
Yeah.
That's the.
That's why neither one of you are adult of the week.
That's the germiest group. They're like, have been in school for 1 and 2 years only. They're
and they
all
get sick a lot.
Yeah, there's Sunday. A lot of coughing without covering the mouth. It's not my scene.
By the way, Emily, good work.
By the way, Justin and Sandberg and Mary Vandeveld are getting together for something called Horrible Daycare. It's an organization they're opening soon for youngsters.
Well, we would never make it.
We'd keep them in step. We'd be wiping those noses.
Yeah, sure you would. 6:49.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Steve Cochran Show continues. Big O after 7 o'clock. Most valuable person on the planet. All right, are we going to do the Mega Millions again?
I think we should.
Last week it nearly ripped the show apart. The arguing and the screaming.
We didn't have any arguing.
Well, that's true. We didn't have any of that.
Except for Justin.
So, I say we do a silent vote if we should do it again.
Pete didn't.
I say no.
The problem is Pete didn't megaply. Yeah. When he bought our tickets.
Yeah,
so
we were mad at Pete. We were all mad at Pete. Because we had a chance to make a gazillion instead of a bazillion.
But see, because Pete
screwed it up.
Because of Pete's move, you all saved a dollar.
Yeah. Right. I still haven't paid in for that, so I owe you guys $2.
Then you're not in. You're out. You're out of the game.
I don't think we blame Pete for that. It's a rookie mistake.
All right, so who wants in on another group lottery loss?
Are you going to have to write a new contract?
Yes.
We didn't copy the last one.
Did you keep the last one?
I do. I have the last one, and I have the lotto ticket, which I kept in a secure spot in our office. I tucked it into my Jolly Rancher bag.
That's where most lottery tickets are kept.
So we could just initial it, probably.
No, I don't think so. It's too risky, Dave. It's going to have to be written out on a legal pad like I did last week.
Okay.
Or no, it was actually on the back of a prize sheet or something.
They said you can write it on anything, even a napkin.
Yeah, okay. So are you in, Vandeville?
I guess.
All right, $3 this time.
Three?
$3 because you're going to megaply.
Megaply!
Look at that.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
It means we're gonna win more. You know, I am going to check our ticket to see if we even won like $4.
No, we didn't.
We didn't even win
$4. We won nothing. Dave, are you in?
I am absolutely in.
$3.
But I'm not going to cover Joe this time.
No, Joe's on his own.
I'm not in that far.
Sandberg, are you
I'll
in?
Cover Dave this time.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I got Dave.
Nope. Sandberg, are you in?
I am in.
All right, Steve Grzanich?
I still owe money from the last one. Can
what
I?
But you and Justin both, you're just both so
cashless.
Lame.
We're a cashless society.
Yeah, I know.
Well, how could you possibly have found cash in the last 5 days?
I actually borrowed a dollar from Vic to pay you guys.
He never has cash on him.
Okay, well, here's a thought. Be a grown-up.
Like
find some.
No, now grown-up is you don't need cash.
No, it's not.
You old people carry cash around.
My kids don't carry it around.
Yeah,
either.
I know. Andrea never had cash. I don't ever have cash either. I happen to have, I think, a single in my wallet.
Okay, so here's the deal. You have to have cash for this game. If you're going to play this game, you have to have cash.
Can I bring it tomorrow? Can I bring $3 tomorrow?
We'll bring $3 tomorrow.
I'm going to quick pay Dave $3, and then he can give you $3 for me.
I'll cover you. Don't worry.
None of this needs to be discussed on the air.
So can I quick pay you too, Dave? Or?
Yes, quick pay Dave. Whatever you want to do. Quick pay the Easter Bunny. Joe, you're in, right?
Yeah, I'm covering Dave.
And what about Pete?
No. You're not covering me.
Pete, you in? Yeah, Pete's in.
Here's $20, and this is whoever needs to be covered. I'm putting this $20 in.
All right, you're the accountant.
No one needs to pay me.
I'll write the contract. You're the accountant.
This is how we get into trouble, though, because then we're going to win, and Dave's going to be like,
I'm going to sign. I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't do that.
Dave, don't pay for everyone. It's too confusing.
We're going to add. No, we're going to add an extra clause. We're going to add an extra clause that takes care of this problem.
I'm going to give Dave money.
Round up all the pennies and give them to Dave.
Mary, you're not going to feel.
I don't believe Justin or Steve can talk about any cash-related transaction related to this.
I have this sense that people feel like they're somehow going to be obligated to me if I cover them. I'm not.
You're just trying to expedite the game.
I'm just trying to get this thing
moving.
Look
at how we're being torn apart already, and the drawing's 12 hours away.
I'm okay with being upholden to Dave.
No one has to be upholden to me. I'm just trying to get it going.
I'll wash your car for a couple of years.
A couple of years. Is Pete doing it again?
Yeah, Pete. Okay. Pete, I just volunteered you to go downstairs and buy us tickets.
Wait, isn't Pete figuring out our football scores?
Oh, yeah, right.
He is. I saw there was some tabulation happening on the sheet.
Yeah, so we'll have to have both of those. All right, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We need $24.
Here's 20.
Well, that's not going to cover
it. I'll bring my dollar in.
Okay, I'll get another $4. What do you want from me?
Anybody got change for 100?
Justin's the worst kind of lottery player.
Yesterday, I was at the gas station, and they have a gumball machine, and I wanted a gumball, and I only had dimes and nickels, so I said, can I get a quarter? And I gave in 25 cents.
I don't understand why you people as grown-ups wouldn't have 20 bucks on you at all times.
And
just
why
20
is
bucks.
A gumball at the gas station?
Why wouldn't you keep a $20 bill on you or a $10 bill?
Besides radio all-in lottery drawings, what do I need it for?
I can't imagine how you could possibly ever need cash. Why wouldn't you keep cash on you?
You just don't.
The only time Justin needs cash is when he goes to the Palace Grill.
That's right.
And do you pay your credit card bill off in full every month?
I do. But
that's not like a question mark. Do you pay it off in full every month?
Not every month, but yes.
Okay, so not every month. So what was the last credit card transaction you made yesterday?
I didn't make a transaction. I did mostly debit.
But let's... Debit card? Okay, yeah. So debit card's fine.
It's a checking account.
But the point being, if you credit card a $5 coffee, you're paying $8 for your coffee or $7 for your coffee. Carry some cash.
When you're talking debit cards...
No, I didn't say debit card. Credit card.
I'm not using credit card for that kind of stuff. Credit card is...
All right, I'm going to need to see all of your financials.
You're going
to
have it all. Yes. I'm an open book. I'm transparent. But that's just the way it is.
I debit carded my coffee, $2.44. Yeah.
No, you guys are right. No one uses cash. 6:58, back with more in a moment. What's coming up at 7 o'clock from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom? We'll stick by and find out. That'll be next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
The legendary Orion Samuelson could do any show he wants. He decides to do this one because he's a good guy. Good morning, Orion.
Well, good morning to you, and it's a pleasure to do the show, and I enjoy it every week.
I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but I have a political question for you. We're 2 weeks away from Election Day, and every politician in Illinois claims they're for the farmer. A lot of them couldn't even spell farmer. So is there anyone in particular you'd like to tout or, you know, give a shout out to or say, here's somebody who really does understand farming and is getting it done anywhere in Illinois?
Southern Illinois, there is a farmer who is running for state office.
Okay.
But there really aren't too many farmers that I'm aware of that are running. Maybe they have a background as a child of being on a farm, but it is a complicated situation with trade and everything else, and it takes a lot of knowledge, I think, to represent farmers when you're in the state legislature or when you're in Congress.
So how about somebody that's in Congress wanting to keep the job or somebody that's running for Congress that is deferred and said, look, I support farming, I don't understand it completely, and that's why I'm trying to learn as much as I can. Are you seeing people like that out there?
Not really. I'm seeing members of Congress who have proven, you know, that they're actively involved in agriculture. Joni Ernst from Iowa, for example, and people like that. But not newcomers to the game. They're just, I think farmers are too busy farming that they don't really have time to run for office.
Right, but not just the ones running. I'm saying congressmen that aren't farmers who are appealing to farmers to, you know, teach them the game and make sure they're taking care of them. Mm-hmm.
Tough to answer. There are some congressmen from North Dakota and from Montana that have been involved agriculturally and know what they're doing. Colin Peterson from Minnesota, who has represented farmers in his state very well for a long time, and not too many here in Illinois.
Well, the reason I bring it up is obvious by your answer, and that is if you don't know, just off the top of your head, anecdotal stories of this or that congressman or congresswoman who is getting it done for farmers, then they need to do more work to make sure that the farmers know they're for them. I mean, that just seems obvious.
It is obvious, but I watch, as a matter of fact, my Samuelson says this week was a story to call an end in the United States to respect and civility, and we just don't see it anymore. I mean, if you watch the commercials for people who are running for Congress from Illinois, everybody is a crook, or everybody has done something terrible in his life that he doesn't or she doesn't deserve to be elected. I don't see any positive commercials for people running for Congress. Yep. They're all negative, but I guess negative commercials work, they tell me.
Beyond the congressional the candidates or the people in office, it's also the policy. I always wonder, we've talked about this before, Orion, why they sneak so many things into the farm bill, why food stamps end up in the farm bill, why we have arguments over welfare state in the farm bill. It seems that it's been hijacked over the years by issues that may be more political than actual agriculture.
Well, true, but it has two sides. There are so few people representing agricultural districts in Congress today that without a bill like the SNAP program, which it's now called, or the food stamp program, which applies to a lot of urban people, they couldn't get enough votes in Congress to pass a farm bill. If that was not in the farm bill, I don't think we could have a farm bill. As a matter of fact, several years ago, I said this could be the last farm bill we'll ever have because there aren't people in Congress who understand all of the activities involved in making agriculture successful. So it's, yes, I've asked the same question. Why do we have a nutrition assistance program in the farm bill? Well, we have it to attract urban congressman votes so we can get a farm bill.
Because you got to have that kind of support on a secondary level.
Yeah, you really do.
Having said all that, how are the markets going to be today?
Markets today, I think, are going to be relatively quiet. We're looking at harvest progress right now, and that's having the biggest impact, I think, on the markets on a daily basis this time of the year. And that's not new. It happens every year because yesterday we got the results of the weekly harvest progress report, 49% of the nation's corn crop harvested, 53% of the soybean crop harvested. And that's basically what is impacting the agricultural markets on a daily basis, probably for the next month or so, because we'll see if we get it done. Again, fascinating to me, Illinois, 82% of the corn acres harvested. Go across the Mississippi to Iowa, 29% of the acres harvested. And the differences are about that large in soybean harvest as well. Mississippi River is quite a barrier when it comes to weather.
It's Orion Samuelson, the Big O, and there's usually something on your mind that you need to get to us. I mean, I'm not saying you got an almond milk problem today, but you got anything you really think we ought to know?
Well, here's a big concern. We, in the last week, had infectious disease outbreaks in livestock around the world. We have African swine fever that is a deadly disease. It'll kill pigs in 2 days. Originated basically in China, but they're now finding it in France, and they're finding it in other countries. It's, you know, with the ease of travel that we have today and getting to different parts of the world, it's easy to spread the infectious diseases. We've had foot and mouth disease outbreaks in England, Wales, and Scotland, and in China. And we're really working hard now to keep them out of the United States. And I guess my one sermon is to travelers. If you have traveled to a foreign country and you're coming back into the United States, before you land, the flight attendant is going to give you a card from the USDA with some questions on it, like, did you visit a farm during your travels?
Yep.
And please answer those questions honestly, because there was a story last week at the Atlanta airport where a beagle hound that works for security at airports sniffed something unusual in a bag from a traveler from Ecuador. Turned out they had a pig head in it, a roasted pig head.
In the bag.
In the bag. Mm. And the dog smelled it, and of course, immediately was thrown away. And I can understand stories of financial people or of foreign people coming to the United States to see kids, and they want to bring them some food from the country of their homeland. And it gets destroyed. You can't bring it into this country. And so my concern is answer the questions on that USDA card and don't become a person who brings a deadly foot and mouth disease into the United States. So that's my sermon this morning.
Seems entirely reasonable. Only got about 60 seconds here, but we can set this up and talk about it next week. I'd like to get your thoughts on the viability of marijuana as a cash crop in Illinois going forward. It's something we've talked about over the years, but we're seeing a wave, a green wave, if you will, from coast to coast that legalization of marijuana is going to be a part of our future. It's just a matter of when. So think about that, and we'll take it up next week.
Okay, because I'm not in favor of it, so I'll think about it for next week.
All right, and you'll tell us why next week.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Thank you. That's Orient Samuels, 720. I'm glad he said that at the end because I thought he was dealing. No, it's Orient. Come on, please.
That's why he's not in favor of it.
He
doesn't want competition.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
And that's what makes a Gumby cat. That's what makes a Gumby cat.
But when the days hustle and
only musical I've ever walked out of in my life. On Broadway, as a matter of fact. And by the way, I paid for the tickets. And what's the reason you get in the show business? A table on a Saturday night, last minute, and tickets. That's it. That's the reasons. Cats. The reason we're playing the theme from Cats is not so I could relive the story of walking out of Cats. Pete Zimmerman, come in here and join me, will you? Pete's the cat lady in this neighborhood, isn't he?
He is the cat lady.
Yes.
Justin also is
a
cat
two
lady.
Cats, yeah.
But your two don't even show up on Pete's cat radar, do they? Pete, don't you have 30 or 40 cats at the house?
He's got 52 cats.
How many cats do you currently own and operate?
Currently, we have four.
Four. Four cats.
Well, that number is changing in a matter of days, though.
Right. We have three foster cats. We have two kittens and the mom. And Arlo, the mom, has been adopted.
Oh.
But we're losing Arlo in a couple of days.
Oh. Okay, so the number's going down.
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
I'm a little sad.
Yeah, I understand.
Sad and happy.
Well, that's why I wanted you. For people that don't know, Pete goes out and finds these amazing people for most valuable person on the planet. And since you're the cat lady in your neighborhood, I'd like you to introduce our guests.
Valerie and Autumn are the founders and creators of this great Instagram called Cats of Pilsen.
Mm-hmm.
They had this wonderful Instagram, and then they created a calendar that benefits other cat shelters.
And this is for rescuing cats off the street?
Right.
Okay. Let's go to Valerie and say hello. Good morning, Valerie.
Hi. Good morning.
And let me get Autumn in here as well. Autumn, is it Ganza or Gonza?
It's Ganza, but everybody mispronounces it, so either way I'll answer.
Okay. Autumn Ganza and Valerie Schuldis. Let's start with you, Valerie. How do you come to this story?
So I moved to Pilsen about a year ago. I was walking the neighborhood with my husband and noticed, you know, all the cats in the neighborhood. There's a lot of free-roaming community cats in Pilsen. And I took a lot of pictures of them, and I'm pretty good at making fast friends with cats. And pretty soon my phone started filling up with pictures, and I just had an idea. Well, I'm going to start an Instagram. I called it Cats of Pilsen. And it wasn't too long before I realized, you know, taking pictures of the cats, it just wasn't good enough. I needed to get involved and do more. And one day in February, I saw a little kitten hopping through the snow, and that's when I reached out to Autumn, who does a lot of rescue work with cats in the
Pilsen, Bridgeport, Southside area. And she connected me with everything I needed to help get that cat picked up off the street. So we trapped her, we got her into rescue and adopted out. And then from there, it kind of spiraled into this calendar, which we released a few weeks ago in order to raise awareness for cat rescue on the South Side and advocacy. And
saving
100%
cats.
Of the proceeds of the calendar are going to support cat rescue and trap neuter return in on the South Side.
There you go, Valerie and Autumn, a cat consortium, if you will. Let me go live to Pete, my vice president of cats on the show. Do you have a question for the two?
When yes, I do. Valerie, so when you were walking around with your husband and you know deciding to take pictures of cats, I too am a cat photographer. What would you suggest are good tips for taking
pro
pictures
tips.
Of
pro tips pro for tips cat
for taking cat. Pictures yeah. of cats?
I would say number one, have treats. So I usually don't leave my house without a tote bag that has some canned food or some treats, and then, you know, gain their trust and always get low to the ground, get low, like on their level, when you can usually get some good close-up pictures of them.
Yeah.
I have a question for Autumn. Autumn, you've been volunteering and you've been a big part of the issue of feral cats in neighborhoods, especially Pilsen, some of the South Side neighborhoods. How bad is it? I mean, do you see cats on a regular basis? Or are they? Tell us a little bit about what the describe what's happening with the wild cats in some of Chicago neighborhoods.
Oh my gosh, some neighborhoods are just drowning in cats, like completely overpopulated. I've been doing a lot of work this summer in like South Shore and Kenwood and Gresham and Greater Grand Crossing, where a lot of places don't go. Like TNR TNA in Chicago is mostly on a singular volunteer basis in those neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. They're not PAWS target zip codes. So it's mostly untouched. Like, it's not uncommon to go down to an area and see dozens of cats on one block.
Is
like,
that right?
You go down and it's like going on a safari. You open a can and you're like a dumpster Disney princess. They're all just like circling you.
Wow. Wow, and I suppose if you're carrying a bag of canned tuna, that probably is an attraction as well, right?
Oh, yeah, we look like crazy people.
Well, here's the thing. You're doing good work, and if you go to catsofpilsen.com, you can help support saving these cats all over and getting them to a shelter, a legitimate shelter, and having them go on to hopefully good homes, or you can just drop them off at Pete's house.
Our boss, Todd, his daughter, Shay, had done this in her neighborhood, I think in like Edgewater when they used to live over there. She had her own little operation.
Is that right?
Trapping these cats. But I think that she would talk him into keeping a lot of the cats she was trapping, so just to help.
Power of a daughter. Yeah. Come on, Dad. Valerie and Autumn both have lives, and they're doing this in their spare time to help, so everybody can step up. How much are the calendars, by the way, there, Valerie?
The calendars are $18 on catsofpilsen.com, and like I said, 100% of the proceeds go to support cat rescue and TNR efforts.
Thank you for the work you're doing, and thank you for volunteering and saving these kitties.
Thank you.
All right, you guys hold on for a second.
Thanks,
hold on.
Now, Steve, you recently joined Instagram, and you had asked Pete and I for some consultation on it, and we had said...
Or honestly, to do it.
Yeah, and we had said cats... dogs and kids.
Yeah,
that's what would
cats, dogs, and kids.
They have, you know, almost 10 million followers on Cats of Pilsen.
So I think you should go down the South Shore and just walk around the alleys until you find as many feral cats as possible. Take some photos and
do
voila.
You pop the top on the can tuna as you walk around?
Pop the top and then take some pictures.
Out.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Get close to the ground. Remember to get close to the ground.
Right. Well, that's where I live most of my life anyway.
Let's go here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
So, well, that part I figured out. But thank you, Steve. 7:33. When we come back in just a few minutes here. Kwame Raoul join us. He wants to be your attorney general in one of the highest profile races, and a race that most people don't normally pay all that much attention to. And we'll talk to Kwame Raoul before 8 o'clock. Right now, let's do this before the headlines on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
7:44. All right, let me appeal to your common sense for a second. Before you vote, your common sense is really important. Bring it with you. Carry it with you at all times. And just consider that you don't need a fact checker. You just need to think about, well, how could that possibly be? The president is putting forward three of his favorite lies now, last night at a rally and with regularity. Lie number one is about the Saudi Arabian, and these are not in particular order or an order of priority. The Saudi Arabian lie is that, well, yeah, somebody got murdered, but got a lot of jobs on the line here. He started out claiming there were 40,000 jobs that were at stake. He then upped it to a few hundred thousand, then to 500,000, then to 650,000. And as recently as yesterday, he said there's over 1 million jobs at stake. I don't know what price you might have on a human life, but if 40,000 is the going number, that probably is not in my world, and I hope it's not in yours either. The investigation needs to continue. The jobs are not the important part of this, and it's repulsive that that's his play. Lie number two, the caravan of immigrants coming from the southern border of Mexico to the southern border of the U.S. is a Democrat's ploy to get them here before the election. They're walking at 20 to 25 miles a day. They're walking 1,100 miles. Do the math. It would take them 40 days to get here. They can't even get to the southern border of the United States before the election. Again, a lie. But this is the one that really stands up.
Did they say because it's because there's a vote?
Like, yeah,
is
because
that what they mean they're going to get
get credentialed to vote, but they're going to put this forward as the Republicans are the bad guys and they're doing these terrible things. And last, there's Middle Easterners in there. There's Middle East in the middle of that pack. These are poor people, uneducated people, and people who, in most cases, need asylum. Yesterday, the president put forth the idea that there are terrorists in the middle of those walking. All right, let me just ask you a question. If you're a member of ISIS, why would you walk 1,100 miles to get to the southern border of the United States to sneak in? So then you can then commit a crime. Why? Why would you do that? Why?
Is it possible it's like the woman in the Boston Marathon who shows up, they just walk in the last 5 minutes?
Take a cab, like to the just about south of El Paso? It's an idiotic premise. And too many times yesterday, the argument was brought up by those supporting the Trump argument. But, hey, look, we know there's a problem with Bangladeshis in there. I don't want to get technical here, but Bangladesh is in Asia. Bangladeshis are Asians. ISIS is a Middle Eastern problem. The whole point here is to muddy the water and claim that there's dangerous terrorists in the middle of this group that somehow couldn't get enough funding from their terrorist organization to fly to the southern border of the United States on the Mexico side and figure it out from there. They'd rather walk 1,100 miles.
Yeah, or take a rideshare at least.
Yeah, you know, like an Uber?
Yeah, or Lyft.
Common sense.
A Via.
Please bring your common sense with you. Whenever you try to analyze whatever the president's trying to shove down our throats on a daily basis. 7:47, Kwame Raoul coming up. Stand by for that. He and Erica Harold are fighting over who's going to be your next attorney general.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Two of my favorite people from hockey coming up. The Cat, Alex DeBrincat, on Breakfast with the Blackhawk. That's just before 9. And the great Doc Emmerich. Before 10 o'clock in the 9 o'clock hour with our friends at CLTV. Kwame Raoul wants to be your next attorney general, and he and Erica Harold are involved in a race that is getting an awful lot of attention, where the attorney general's race normally does not get this kind of attention. Good morning, Kwame.
Good morning. How are you?
I shouldn't say Kwame. Can I call you Kwame? Is that okay?
Of course.
All right. Just wanted to make sure. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. And I want to talk to you about what you're going to do for the state as opposed to what's wrong with Erica Harold. And I told her the same thing last time she was on. But there is one question that I want to ask and make sure that you have an opportunity to address it. And that's your independence from Mike Madigan. What do you want to say to people who question that?
Well, I've got a 14-year record of being independent. You know, I voted for term limits for leaders. It's not something that Mike Madigan has necessarily supported. I passed legislation out calling for campaign finance reform in judicial races. That's something that hasn't been supported in the House of Representatives. I engaged in bipartisan negotiations on the Senate side that there was a different perspective on the House side. So I've got a track record of independence. I come from a very independent area of the city that's not known for producing machine politicians.
And what is your relationship to J.B. Pritzker? And if something comes up with the governor's office, how would you handle that if he wins?
you know, if there's some wrongdoing within the governor's office, I would investigate it.
All right, so let's talk about what you're going to do. What is your number one first day attorney general to-do list item?
Well, I think it's assessing the office. I mean, you've had somebody in the attorney general's office for 16 years, and so there's been you know, one way of thinking, and there's been in all of the departments within the attorney general's office, there are people who've been around there for some time, and so there's got to be an assessment of the office. One area of the office that I would most certainly focus on is one that I created via legislation, which is a public access counselor's office. This is the office that handles FOIA claims and Open Meeting Act claims. I think Justice Brandeis was the one who once said the number one cleanser to public corruption is sunlight. The way to create that sunlight is through mechanisms such as FOIA and Open Meetings Act. However, if at the local or state agency level there are denial of legitimate FOIA requests or Open Meetings Act claims, we need an effective public access counselor within the Attorney General's office to deal with those claims.
Senator Raul, let's get right into some of the issues that you'd be involved with. The consent decree in the city of Chicago to reform the Chicago Police Department, the predecessor, Lisa Madigan, and the mayor of Chicago have both been on board to push the consent decree, but the U.S. Justice Department under Jeff Sessions has not. It's come to Illinois to tell us that this is a bad deal. For you as Attorney General, where do you stand on this, and what would you do in your office one way or the other?
Well, you know, Lisa Madigan consulted with me before pursuing it. You know, it's important to note that Loretta Lynch was the one that started out at Lisa's request an investigation to the patterns and practices of the Chicago Police Department. So the U.S. Attorney General's office was involved. When Jeff Sessions came in, he backed away from it, and that's when Lisa Madigan stepped up. Certainly, I would support that effort. I've worked on law enforcement reform historically. I passed a comprehensive law enforcement reform bill in the General Assembly on a bipartisan basis, by the way. And some of those elements, the training elements and so forth, are contained within the consent decree.
For the other question I have for you would be along the lines of climate change. We have seen, and this is really about the battle between federal and state. There seems to be more with the federal government pushing things to the state, where the attorney general would you know, act on some of the protections and provide legal cover for U.S. or for Illinois citizens. When it comes to climate change, we're looking for our governments to do something about this, whether it be at the federal level or at the state level. Where do you see the attorney general's office in the state of Illinois on climate change, specifically to the report that was put out by the IPCC last week or the week before?
Well, I think you pointed out well that the state attorneys general, both individually and collectively, are stepping up where the federal government is stepping back. Under the Trump administration, there's not a strong belief in science, basically. And I think it's incumbent upon the state attorneys general, both collectively and individually, to step up with civil action to make sure that we protect our environment.
As you go forward with this, you know, the independent voters, because we expect a higher turnout, are likely to be able to decide this. The left's going to vote left, the right's going to vote right. Somebody's in the middle on this, and they think, well, you know, Erica Harold has said some interesting things. I like what Kwame Raoul has to say. Why are you better for the job?
Well, I think one reason is my experience. I've got 25 years of practicing law. I've litigated cases in federal court and state court on in appellate court and before administrative tribunals. I think she's tried one case in her life. But then we have difference in opinions on issues. When she ran for Congress, she said she would repeal the Affordable Care Act. The effect of that would take away coverage for pre-existing conditions. We've seen that health care is one of the top issues that independents, Republicans, and Democrats are concerned about. For me, as a son of a community physician and a cancer survivor, it's a personal issue for me, but I think it's an issue for families all across the state and all across the nation. And attorney generals are attorneys general are engaged in litigation right now over coverage for pre-existing conditions in Texas District Court, including the Illinois Attorney General.
As you know, the image of Chicago is around the country as it were the Wild Wild West, and you can't walk down Michigan Avenue without having to duck from bullets being fired over your head. Well, we know that that's not what this city is. We also know that we have way too much gun violence. One shooting is too many. What sort of power or authority do you have if you win the job as Attorney General to affect this, and what would you do?
Well, I think the three things in particular is the power of advocacy for change in the legislature for things like gun dealer licensing. Many of the guns come from just a handful of gun dealers that are intentionally trafficking these guns into the hands of people that aren't supposed to have them and who are doing wrong with them. Secondly, the New York Attorney General is involved in a gun tracing program, gun tracing of guns involved in crime, so you can trace guns to their origin. I think that's something that we can explore. And then finally, the Attorney General's office is engaged in directing victims' resources. I think we need to expand. We need to deal with the trauma that young people go through by way of living in neighborhoods of normalized violence. Just this past Saturday, I was riding around 45th in Princeton, and I pulled up on a corner where two young boys, about 11 years old, and their instinct was to duck.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it was such a sad just moment.
Just because a car pulled up and slowed down?
Yeah.
Wow, that
and
is
so sad. So that was an illustration of what kids go through. Me, myself, I've raised two. They're now college age. We've experienced gun violence directly outside of our home on multiple occasions. When my son was 13, a 13-year-old boy was shot across the street from our home. I told the family I was supposed to give him a ride home. Can you take him to your home? Because I've got yellow tape around my house, and I haven't quite figured out how to tell him a 13-year-old boy was shot across the street from our home.
Awful. Lisa Madigan's had this job for 16 years. How long are you going to have it if you win?
I don't think I would go 16 years. I'm not certain. Right now I'm just trying to go for a first four. I think it's important in government to be willing to pass the baton to new leadership. And so I don't imagine. I'm a little older than Lisa Madigan was when she took the job. Actually, I'm a year older than Lisa Madigan right now. So I don't anticipate a 16-year run by any means.
You want to be governor someday?
I really want to be attorney general.
Okay, that's a good answer, but that's not a no.
Yeah, I mean, I don't believe in running for a higher office as a stepping stone.
Okay.
And your question is a legitimate question because, unfortunately, attorney generals used to participate on a national level on a bipartisan basis or nonpartisan basis, but then they were turned into stepping stone offices, and huge amounts of money were flooded into attorney generals' races because they were looked at as governor makers or senator makers. I really want the job of attorney general. I really think some fantastic things can be done from this office. And so that's my focus.
What's the campaign website?
KwameRaoul.com, KwameRaoul.com.
It's the only time you've been asked to spell that, I'm sure. So thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
That's Kwame Raoul, wants to be your attorney general, and Erica Harold has been on the show many times as well. Good to have Kwame on for... Is that the first time we've talked to him? It's the first time recently, isn't it?
Yeah, in this round anyway.
Busy guy, but I'm glad he came on. 802 and your news in just a moment from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey.
Back from London. Hey, cheerio, sport.
You know, all I heard when I was in the UK, first in Edinburgh, Scotland, and then in London, what's this I hear about more on entertainment?
I'm not surprised. You were probably approached at every turn. Every place you went, little fish and chips, you can't even be left alone there.
Graham Norton came up to me. What? Hey, mate, what's this I hear about more on entertainment?
And he's been a moron for years.
And he doesn't even have that accent.
No, not at all. I don't even know what country that's from, but I'm impressed.
A little Greek.
Tell people why you were in London.
London seeing Bohemian Rhapsody.
And?
The Queen movie.
This is not a review. And?
This is a review. This
oh, it is.
Is such a good movie. Such a great movie. Nostalgic. Like all Get Out, because you know every song.
Sure. Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy?
Oh, we are the champions. Mm-hmm. We will rock you. Crazy, crazy little thing called love.
Do we get full versions?
Fat Bottom Girls?
Pretty much. Some of them we don't get full versions.
By the way, you think about how ahead of the curve they were. I used to play Fat Bottom Girls in college. Now your big booty couldn't be more hip.
Right.
Yes. Right.
Come on. You were way ahead of the bag, the junk in the trunk craze.
Remember the great Queen hit Junk in the Trunk? Oh, tremendous.
But it's, Rami Malek, who we know from Mr.
Oscar Robot, winner?
He is Oscar nominee, I believe.
Okay.
For sure. He is so good as Freddie Mercury, but everybody else in this movie, Mike Myers from Austin Powers and Saturday Night Live and all those, he's in the movie. I'm not going to tell you who, because I want people to go see this and see if they can even recognize Mike Myers in this, because he's in full makeup again.
Is that right?
Full prosthetic. You won't even...
Like he's doing on The Gong Show? Is he doing that character?
Remember, he was in... what was the movie that he was in as fat bastard?
Austin Powers.
Yeah. Oh, the other Austin Powers movie.
Yeah. It is Austin Powers.
Gold right? member. One of my favorites.
He's very proud of...
Wow. Who would have thought that as a Mary Vandeveld favorite?
I love that movie.
You know what?
It's hilarious.
Super Joe, if you do nothing more for me on this show ever, make sure you isolate Mary Vandeveld saying, gold member, it's my favorite.
Stop. Oh, darn. I'm on Nick's show.
Mike Myers is so great in this movie.
Really?
Across the board, everybody's so good, but Rami Malek's great. It's... you and I both grew up as music DJs in this era. Playing this music, I thought I knew everything there was to know about Queen, the backstories, but this movie is heartbreaking. It's celebratory. It deals with his becoming HIV positive, and those were in the days when being HIV positive was a death sentence,
right?
And his very premature death. I guess both deaths are, can be considered premature, I suppose. But he was very young when he passed away. Their amazing Wembley Stadium concert that they did for Live Aid.
Yep.
It's
historic.
Great. It's great. I mean, this movie is just...
How long?
It's a little two and some change. But
okay, that's fine.
It doesn't. It didn't seem overly long, but I really liked it a lot. Talked with Rami Malek, talked with... All the cast members will have that mostly next week because the movie.
Remember when Queen did the Wheels on the Bus? They did it like
round and round, Mamma Mia, round and round, Mamma Mia. opens November 2nd.
I didn't know you could do a review.
Yeah, well, why don't you sue me?
Yeah, exactly.
When it's across the pond, bets are off, right?
That's right. There's an international statute of limitations. I also saw the new Chris Pine movie. That's why we were in Edinburgh, where you could barely hear me on the phone last week. He's got a new movie that's called Outlaw King that is... it's like a gladiator kind of movie.
It's like a king who's an outlaw?
Not gladiator. The medieval times guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What are those called? I only know it in terms of restaurants.
A guy running around holding a drumstick, movie.
Now, are these the same production companies that brought you out there, or mm-mm. is it just by chance that you happen to be
no,
able to...
No, Dean's running scams all over the world.
No, two different movie studios, right, plus right, I also right. cut a couple of real estate deals while I was out.
Well, that's big news.
My side business.
All right, now I know...
Steve, I bought you a castle for Christmas. And a dragon. Got you a castle, dragon, and a moat for Christmas.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I was going to wait till Christmas to tell you, but I'm too excited.
It's too big news. That's tremendous. I've been watching you guys run clips all morning. Bob Barker, we'll do this when we come back from the break. Bob Barker's in the hospital. As far as we know, Adam Sandler did not beat him up again.
No. This is a non-Adam Sandler-related injury.
Amy Schumer's going to be in the hospital. I'll tell you why.
Presumably.
And Jerry Springer is in the news. You know, I, thinking about this the other day. I drove by the Hancock. I haven't been down that part of Michigan Avenue in a while. I used to have dinner with Jerry Springer a couple times a month.
On purpose?
Yeah. Well, I like Jerry. I still like Jerry. But Jerry lived at the top of the Hancock, and I was doing an afternoon show on, I don't know, whatever station I was on at the time.
In that building?
In that building. And
were you stalking him?
No, he came by. He'd come by. He goes, I'm going to be on stage. You want to have dinner? And we became like dinner pals.
Hmm.
That's cool.
He sat on my lap once.
Jerry did?
Uh-huh.
I'll bet he did. It's 8:20.
You are the father.
No, that's not Jerry.
That's Maury, sir.
That's Maury.
You'll be calling his name.
M-O-R-O-N-N-N.
Dean
Richard. It's Moron Entertainment. By the way, happy Talk Show Host Day.
Thank you. Same to you.
Yeah. Today's National Talk Show Host Day.
What does that mean exactly?
Nah, it's just a scam. You know, it's just a way for us to get more credit for our already overblown egos.
It'd be a nice day if you run into a talk show host that you know today.
Normally, when I see people at the Jewel and they throw vegetables at me, today you shouldn't.
Right. Yeah. Means you'll
get a
donuts
big
involved?
Cookie today.
Yeah, right.
Today, go in your pocket, take $10 out, hand it to your favorite talk show host.
Venmo it to me.
Bob Barker, why is he in the hospital?
He's suffering severe back pain. He had a back injury about a month ago. But apparently the pain was so severe yesterday, he wasn't even able to get into a car by himself. So they had to call an ambulance. They took him to the hospital.
96.
His,
is that right? 95, 96?
I have 94, but...
Okay. When you get to that age, round up.
Yeah, that's... Well, his reps say that he's awake, alert, and comfortable while they are evaluating his condition. So,
you think he's making the nursing staff do Price is Right games just to keep himself entertained?
Here's your bedpan. Dun, 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 dun.
Amy Schumer's what?
She is pregnant.
What?
Yes, she's pregnant. She's been married since early this spring. And
she's got a lot to explain to that baby.
She and her husband named Chris Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
Announced on Instagram, in a, you know, she's very extremely politically and socially active on Instagram. She posts a kind of a political message on Instagram and then ends it with, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant, Amy Schumer.
Love it.
And she reposted, somebody put her head on Meghan Markle's and then her and husband's head on Harry.
Right.
Because she's pregnant right now, and it's so
sweet.
Funny.
That's very sweet.
Amy's going to be at the Chicago Theater December 20th, by the way. Steve, I know you love your pregnant comedians. So.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because on New Year's Eve, I plan on being pregnant on my show.
I'm just planning on putting up so much weight that people will think I'm pregnant.
And last one for today. Jerry Springer's getting a new show. Doesn't Jerry have enough money?
Now, I have to say that I'm not... I have nothing against Jerry Springer, but I just don't really follow his show. Is it still on the air, the talk show?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think
your mother is a hooker, and you know,
it's not your mother is a hooker. It's your mom's sister's a hooker, and your mother's her pimp. That was a totally different show.
I stand corrected.
Yes.
Well, he's going to be doing a much more highline show now called Judge Jerry, where he'll wear a judicial robe and take. It'll be like Judge Judy, where they will bring before him small claims cases, and he will. Rule on them.
We need this?
Rule on them.
I mean, the big world of television choices?
I see it as another sign of the apocalypse myself. But Springer is, he may bring some credibility to this because besides his goofy talk show, he was an attorney, and he does actually bring some legal.
Yeah, and I think he kept his license
baggage
up.
To the background. So
here's the thing about Jerry, and this is why I never watched an entire Jerry Springer show because I didn't want to hate myself at that level. But he never tried to say he was doing Shakespeare. He always admitted it was crap. He admitted he sold out. He admitted it was crap. And, at some level, I respect that.
Yeah, when, no, he says it's just, you know, it's fun. It's just mindless fun. Don't take it so seriously.
When it first started, they were real shows.
Oh, yeah.
In high school, I used to go to tapings when we had days off. And
tried to be Donahue.
Yeah, so it didn't turn into the crazy stuff till...
Until somebody said, you want ratings?
It's not really fun until chairs are flying.
Right. Yeah, it's funny you say that. I think that may have been it. When Geraldo took the chair in the face... I think that's who Jerry went. You know what we need? Mothers and sisters running hooker operations. That's what we need.
That's right.
Enjoy your day.
Hootman.
I don't know what that means, but happy talk show host.
One of the many words I learned in Scotland. I have some others, but I'll share with those privately.
All right, good. Call me off the air and yell at me in Scottish. That's Dean. We're back with the headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
Austin Powers.
Yeah. Oh, the Austin Powers movie.
Yeah. It is Austin Powers.
Gold member. One of my favorites.
You see, Mr. Powers, I love gold.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Typical Mary Vandeveld working blue. It's 8:42. Alex DeBrinket coming up. The Cat off to a great start for the Blackhawks. It's Breakfast of the Blackhawk. And then the legend, Doc Emmerich, before 10 as we get deeper into the Blackhawk season. Hey, I've got a list here, and everybody on the staff I know will want to jump in on this. This is how much sex you have to burn off Halloween candy. These are particular kinds of Halloween candy. How long do you have to have sex? Typical. Nothing involving ropes, ladders, other people.
Shoots and ladders.
A Snickers. A mini Snickers.
Uh-oh.
130 calories. 36 minutes. 36 minutes. Oof. Just for a mini Snickers. All right. We're just getting started. One peanut butter cup. And by the way, that's not the nickname for your girlfriend or your boyfriend. One peanut butter cup. Half an hour.
Oh, where'd this study come from?
People who had sex while they're eating candy.
I just love the doctors with their clipboards and
really.
A bunch of little nodes on bodies.
Okay, that's 31 minutes. Fine.
A Butterfinger. A Butterfinger, which is not an insult while you're having sex. A Butterfinger, 85 calories, 24 minutes.
Okay. So are they feeding these people these candies?
How do they test this?
I was not involved in the testing itself.
I think that probably they calculated how much activity is usually burned off during that, and then they just did the math on it. Though it doesn't.
So the idea
none of those last that long.
That's boring. That's a boring visual.
The idea with doctors with clipboards in the room.
Yeah.
That's better.
Take this, Mr. Goodbar, sir.
Skittles.
Okay. Skittles.
Skittles. I don't eat Skittles. A mini package of Skittles, probably 80 calories.
Yeah,
80 calories, 22 minutes.
I love a yellow.
I think this is candy
yellow
porn.
And orange Skittles.
Yellow and orange. Okay.
Yeah.
A Kit Kat. Now there are four pieces to a Kit Kat. I don't know if this is like a mini Kit Kat. If this is breaking off one. Right. Again, all of this sounds dirty. A Kit Kat, 70 calories. 19 minutes. Let's say you're really pressed for time. I'd go Peppermint Patty. Peppermint Patty, again, not a nickname, 60 calories, 16 minutes.
I've got Peppermint Patties in my freezer right now.
Yeah, those
I
are
love
pretty
them
healthy.
Cold. They're so good cold.
Yes. Is that code? What you just said there?
Okay, let me add to the word problem here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, a lot of these have huge sugar content, so the sugar rush would give you the energy to have the sexual encounter.
So you're saying...
Where does that end? When does the sugar rush end?
Well, that's the problem if you're going Snickers.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Like, are you
make it all sweeter.
You got to get 36 minutes, but the sugar rush only lasts 15. What do you do for that last when you're coming down, but
that's when the other doctor comes in with another clipboard. Mike and Ike, 50 calories, 14 minutes. A Charleston Chew. The amount of time it takes to eat a Charleston Chew would probably take you right out of the mood. 30... calories, 8 minutes.
All right, that's
you burn a lot of calories while chewing the thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Now, do you eat the candy at the same time?
So it depends on the mood you're in.
Like George Costanza when he would eat the sandwich while
the pastrami.
Yeah.
Keep it in your bedside table.
Yeah. Dum Dums. Again, not a pet name. Dum Dums. 26 calories, 7 minutes. But if you're really pressed for time, more you're my age or Dave's age.
You're on the go.
Speak for yourself, will you?
Sweet Tarts.
Oh, yeah.
Dave is probably like Sting.
One of my faves.
Is that what they call him? Tantric Dave?
Yeah, I think so.
Sweet Tarts. 10 calories. Mm-hmm. 10 calories in one of those little things of Sweet Tarts.
You've got to eat more than one.
Yeah, but that's the issue. Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's one Sweet Tart.
They come with...
Sweet Tarts, 10
calories?
There's
three in each little mini, so yeah.
Are there?
Yeah.
What am I thinking of? What are the little wrapped up deals?
Oh, well, Smarties.
Oh, that's different.
Those are terrible.
Those are awful, yeah.
Yeah.
The sex with Smarties, I mean, it's just...
It's totally different.
It's a whole different thing.
The fizzing is what really makes you crazy. Sweet Tarts, 10 calories, 3 minutes. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
What about a Pixie Stick? Didn't make the list.
Did not make the list. So, nor did it, your standard Hershey bar. You know what I'm saying?
Necco wafers.
Necco wafers didn't make the list. Did not make the list. Nope. Twizzlers?
Twizzlers, yeah.
Didn't make the list. So good luck to you and your Halloween candy and sexual encounters going forward. It's 8:46.
Did lick a stick? Make the...
Is that
lick a maid? Lick a maid.
Yeah, I think wow. really.
I don't think we should talk about that.
On the wrong road there.
Yeah.
We're back with Alex DeBrink in a moment.
Anisimov holding to the half board. Sets up Seabrook straight away with a drive. And then it's something in front. Here's DeBrink and he shoots. He scores! A hat trick for the Cat! His third of the season! Sam I Am! Don't like green eggs and ham! The Cat with another hat!
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with the Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Alex DeBrink joins us now on Breakfast with the Blackhawk. Look, dude, I know you're young, but you're probably out of Cat in the Hat now, right? You're not still reading that, are you?
No, I don't think I'm reading that anymore.
Yeah. Had you heard that call from John Weideman? Had you heard that before that we just played the clip?
I probably heard it once or twice, maybe, but that was a good one. It just reminded me that it's a pretty good one.
Have you thought about making it the ringtone on your phone?
I don't know about that.
Hey, great start. Great start for the season. And you have already become a guy, as soon as the puck touches your stick, all of us as Blackhawk fans, we feel like something good's going to happen. So that should make you feel good.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's definitely, something that you don't have to say. And, something that really, makes me proud of, what I've done. And I think it's good to keep going, and hopefully we can try to get some more wins.
The game winner against the Blues, is that to this point the highlight for you this season?
Yeah, I think that was definitely a cool game. I think being able to tie it so late, and then to be able to finish it in overtime, having that my first overtime goal, I think that was pretty special and a pretty exciting one for us.
Take us back a year, and from where you were then to where you are now. What's the biggest difference that you see when you're out there on the ice in an NHL game?
I think I'm just more comfortable. I think, obviously playing a year, it really, what to expect. Last year at this time, still trying to, figure out what guys are doing and figure out the speed of the game. So a little bit different now, being more comfortable and, being pretty confident in my abilities to play against these guys and at this level. So, not too much has changed, but I think those are definitely some things that have.
You look at the stat sheet. Kander's got 12 points. You have 11. Taves has 10. That's the big three right there. That's the new big three for this team, the two old guys and you. No pressure, dude. You just got to keep this going.
Yeah, I hope so. Obviously, when you're playing with guys like, Taser and, Dom's been great for us, too, so. I think, Taylor's been helping me a ton and, getting me the puck and, playing with a lot of speed. So, he makes it pretty easy on me to make plays and, shoot the puck.
Your division, we've talked to Coach Q about this and some of your teammates. The division stack this year is obviously early. But what's the identity of the Blackhawks when it comes to the other teams in the division? How do you see the team competing with the likes of the Blues and some of the other teams that are at the top of the division?
Yeah, I think we had a good start and to be able to battle back and I want to say pretty much the first five games to be able to come back and, win a few, lose a few in overtime. But I think that's good for us in our minds. We go down, we can come back. And I think we have a good team here. I think a lot of speed, a lot of skill, and we can definitely compete with those top teams.
So, Alex, we were having a conversation earlier today on the show. I know you have the dog named Ralph. Do your parents consider Ralph their grandchild?
I'm not sure, really. I know they love him a lot, but I don't know if they consider him a grandchild.
Do they spoil Ralph?
No, not really. know, they see him every once in a while, but you know, they spoil with love, that's for sure. But no, not much gifts and stuff.
So is it like Wreck-It Ralph? Does he just destroy everything he comes near, or is he a good dog?
Oh, absolutely. He destroys everything.
There you go. Wreck-It Ralph, and, yep. Wreck-It Ralph for real. You and Kaner and Taze, again, at the top of the stat sheet, those two guys are pretty good at the needle. Do they give you a hard time, or have you gotten to a point now where you're starting to needle the other guys?
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, just a little ribbing, a little friendly, you know, I can't say the words on the air, but, you know, busting your
Yeah.
Do you get that?
I mean, I get it from them, but...
You don't give it back? You're not giving it back yet?
No, not... Maybe once or twice, but no, not really. I think, you know, still stay in the background for a little bit more and you know, see how things play out.
How about some friendly incentive wagering during practice? You guys doing trick shots or anything? You know, I'll make this, I'll bank this off Yoki Aryu's head for $10. You're not doing any of that?
No, none of that. Okay.
But, right, but have you gotten to a point where you feel a little more comfortable in the room where you feel like you can speak up a little bit? I mean, you're not, obviously there are a lot of veterans around you, have been in the league for a long time, but do you have a little more confidence to maybe voice your opinion when the time calls for it?
Yeah, definitely. I think you know, I think we have a lot of great leaders in the room, but you know, for us to be, you know, a good team and you know, have, you know, that those different layers of leaders, I think, you know, we're encouraged, you know, by everyone to speak up, no matter if it's your second game in the league or, you know, your 600th. So I think it's something that we've been working on, and I think I feel more comfortable this year, definitely. You know, the guys did a good job making me comfortable last year, but definitely wouldn't have said anything in the locker room, but yeah, it's been good this year. They're encouraging everyone to, not only me, I think everyone, to be a leader in their own way, and you know, we're going to work from that.
You become a player at the, you know, at the highest level of the game, and I mean a player so quickly. Are you getting heat from other teams? I mean, somebody trying to get in your ear?
No, not really. I think
make it too fast. You can't stop. They can't stop you. They can't stop Cat long enough to insult him on the ice.
No, that's not it. I think you know, I don't really say anything to them, so I don't think they try to say anything to me. I think I keep my mouth shut on the ice, and yeah, I don't hear too much.
You've been very impressive, man. You've been very, very impressive.
Thank you.
And are you getting recognized when you go out now? You know, one of the advantages is if you want to be quiet, you don't do the endorsements, you keep your helmet on, you can pretty much do whatever you want. Do you like when people come up and say hi?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I mean, I think it's cool to, you know, see all the Blackhawks fans. And, you know, I mean, obviously there's so many, and they've been so great. You know, probably, what, 12 years now, they've been at every game, and really cheering us on. So it's good to, you know, meet them and, you know, kind of interact with them. So, I don't mind it at all, but it doesn't happen too much.
Think about how your life has changed. 12 years ago was 2006. Where were you in 2006?
I don't even know. At home.
Obviously home, living with your parents. What grade would you have been in? Maybe fifth?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, how about that? 12 years later, you're starring in the National Hockey League. Pretty cool stuff, dude.
Yeah, it's definitely you know, a good life.
Zach Zivkovich from Crown Point has your Breakfast with the Blackhawk question of the day, again brought to you by MB Financial Bank. Who on this team is most likely to be an NHL coach in the future? If you look at the entire roster, who would you look at and go, yeah, that guy's going to be a Coach Q someday?
Well, I think maybe Kunitz. I think he's you know, he's obviously a veteran in this league, and, you know, he's a good leader and speaks up and, you know, knows the game really well. So I think I'd have to say him.
How about that? Did you see that coming, Dave?
Kunitz. You know, I kind of had an inclination that he might say that.
Yeah. Well, you're smarter than I am.
yeah.
Alex to break it from your Chicago Blackhawks, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, man. Stay healthy.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
See you later.
Thanks.
You're a good kid, huh?
By the way, well, turns 21 in December.
Wow.
Think about that.
So you 12 years ago, he was 9.
He was 9 years old. And, I mean, look at where he is now.
Well, think about that. We're the 2006, Kaner, Taves coming up. We're getting closer. Mm-hmm. A couple of years later, you win a cup. Now he's 11.
Right.
He's in 6th grade. I'm sure he's still with a stick pretending he's Kaner or Taves. Now he's playing with him.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
It's a great story. It's 9 o'clock. Hi to everybody on CLTV, and thanks for watching. We're going to come back to the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom and Steve Grzanich next.
Desperation mode for Chicago. Rush coming. Trubisky steps up. Trubisky uncorks. Deep ball on the way. It is caught, but he couldn't get in. Stopped at the 1. The Bears will fall short. Chicago came that close to a miracle toss.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Adam Hoge joins us. Morning, Adam Hoge.
Good morning, everyone.
So I feel badly that we didn't include you in our vicious, hate-filled lottery pool where we bought Powerball, or I should say Mega Millions tickets this morning.
I'll just have to buy my own and win the whole thing.
It looks that way. It looks that way, yeah. You know, I tweeted out on Sunday that I apologized to Adam Hoge because I was wrong about Mitchell Trubisky after he ran like Gale Sayers for the first 15 or 20 minutes of the game. And then it turned out I was right.
Yeah. He didn't have his best game throwing the ball. I'll tell you what, though. I agree with what Nagy said yesterday, which is, you know, if you're going to look at a guy like Tom Brady who's seen every single defense in the world over the last 20 years or so that he's been playing, Mitchell Trubisky's still seeing different looks every week, and I do agree that the decision-making for the most part was good. There was a couple exceptions, obviously. He just wasn't very accurate on a lot of these
throws.
Well,
what was the deal with the overthrows and the underthrows? I mean, you know, usually it's one or the other.
So I thought early he was lacking touch on his throws. He was just sort of, maybe he was amped up a little bit too much, but everything was just coming out hot. And it didn't have that touch that allows you to you know, get it over the defender and drop it right in there in the bucket for your receivers. And then it was like he compensated too much, and all of a sudden in the second half everything was coming short, like on the second interception, which should have been a touchdown.
It's like a guy that snap hooks it and he doesn't want to snap hook it anymore, then he starts slicing it. I get that. What about the wind, though?
What about the wind?
Yeah, was he, you know, when he was thrown into the wind, was that a problem?
It might have been. It is fair to point out that the throw that I'm talking about, the second interception that should have been a touchdown to Anthony Miller that was underthrown, that was into the wind, and there was a brisk wind coming south to north the entire game that I think affected the play calls at the end of the first half when they didn't kick the field goal, and was part of the reason why his Hail Mary at the end of the game came up a couple yards short.
Remember, you can stump Hoge by asking him anything other than football when we're done here today. 312-981-7200. Just call up with a question. Could be about love. Could be about world peace. Could be about, you know, something Lou Manfredini knows. 312-981-7200. Stump Hoge, and we'll give you, you know, a bunch of stuff from the prize list. Yes, Justin.
The running game. This is something that I don't think is getting a lot of coverage. There was talk that the Bears were efficient. They were one of the top-ranked rushing teams in the league. But to watch the game on Sunday, you saw a lot of Jordan Howard stuff. You saw Tariq Cohen not being able to find space. They're putting Mitch Trubisky in this offense, which is supposed to be high-powered and efficient, into a lot of third and longs.
Yeah, that's fair. I've been trying to dive into this a little bit in the last 24 hours. The numbers kind of show the Bears are all over the map when it comes to running the football, depending on where they're running. For instance, they're averaging over 4 yards per carry when they run right up the middle. If they try to run outside the right tackle, they're averaging 2 yards per carry, which ranks second to last. So it's kind of a mixed bag. I didn't think that they were having much success running the ball on Sunday, and Matt Nagy was clearly frustrated with that after the game. So I think that had a lot to do with Mitch Trubisky throwing the ball 50 times, and actually I think he dropped back like 58 times or something like that, which is too much. But they were also playing from behind late, and so that starts to happen. They need to figure out a way to get Jordan Howard going a little bit more, I think, though. Tariq Cohen's an explosive weapon. You need Jordan Howard in this offense. You need him running the – you need to be able to pick up 3 yards when you just need to get 3 yards. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do. I can't speak for Dave, but I know what you mean.
No, I do know what you mean. What's the take on the special teams problems that ultimately, with all these other things we're talking about, ended up costing them in the game?
Yeah, I was shocked by what happened with special teams. Look, the kicking game hasn't been great. But they haven't had any coverage issues so far this season. I mean, until Sunday, I can't think of a single long return that they gave up. Certainly, that was the first touchdown that they allowed. However, and I hate to make excuses, you go back and watch that play, Sherrick McManus got blatantly blocked in the back. Benny Cunningham was tackled on the play. It should have been a hold. They missed at least two flags on that play, which I didn't notice live, but I noticed on the tape. But the block punt, that just cannot happen. The two guys blocking there, Joel Iwe Beniwe and Ben Broniker, got their feet tangled up. That's what caused Ben Broniker to just get rolled. I mean, he just got steamrolled over, and that's got to get worked out. That can't happen. Look, you can't give up two touchdowns on special teams to the Patriots and expect to win.
No, right. Of course not. What about Khalil Mack? The guys in the postgame were pretty hard on him. Said, like, unless your leg's amputated, you got to play, and you got to play better than that. How hurt is he, and why, when he was getting doubled so often, wasn't there more room for somebody else?
Well, I think the answer to the second part of that question is the other guys need to step up.
Right.
And they're just not. Leonard Floyd needs to step up. He needs to go sack the quarterback. He's not doing it. So I think that the answering the second part of your question is a lot easier than the first part. The first part is interesting because I was watching him very closely with the binoculars during the game. I didn't see him limping all that much.
No.
I don't really know why he's been so ineffective. Look, and even big picture, this pass rush completely changed from the most dominant in the NFL to non-existent the second that Khalil Mack injured his ankle. That's not a big enough reason for me for it to go from one extreme to the other. It just doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. He was also very interesting last week. On Friday, he kind of avoided the media all week, and then on Friday he tried to get out of it. Then he talked, and he wasn't very happy about it, and then he blew off the media after the game again on Sunday.
Well, is there something wrong with him?
I don't know. It's. I'm just saying. Over the last week, it's the Khalil Mack storyline has kind of flipped and gone in a completely different direction. I'm going to continue to watch it.
Is it possible that the Dolphins and the Patriots both saw something on film about the Bears' defensive tendencies that has stopped this pass rush? They both seem to play the same style and to same results.
Well, and I wonder if that's why Vic Fangio tried this weird thing where he was dropping Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd into coverage so much the other day, try to change it up and catch the Patriots off guard. Tom Brady's reaction seemed to be more like, I don't understand why they weren't coming after me. and meanwhile, you had Roquan Smith, your first-round pick, on the field for only 55% of the snaps, and he's supposed to be the guy that can cover, which he can.
You saw White run rampant, running back for the Patriots. Yeah.
And look, Vic Fangio's been here. This is his fourth season. He's an outstanding defensive coordinator, but I think we chalk up Sunday as not his best game.
It is Adam Hoge, and you could be a Hoge follower, very simply, if you know where he lives. But we recommend the social media aspect instead of that. And where do people follow you?
At Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E. That's a tricky one. People don't spell it right.
Yes, make sure you do.
He was actually Adam Hodge at Rutgers on Saturday.
Oh, was he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
How do you spell Hodge?
H-O-D-G-E.
Oh, yeah. Hodge.
They threw a D in, just, oh, you know, it was
sometimes
a bonus.
I put a U in when I'm putting Adam's name on our schedule. I will throw in a U.
Wouldn't it funny when you look at our name and you assume it's misspelled, so you start adding letters?
Mm-hmm. Because
I was trying to tell Dave that he had to call me Adam Hodge on the broadcast the entire day.
Oh, that would have been funny. He still hasn't worked in the word naughty into the broadcast that we've been asking for.
Yeah, and that is a phrase of pace.
Yeah.
You know what? Save it for Notre Dame.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Before you go, good news. Standing by on the phone is Peter with a question on Stump Hoge. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Steve. You have a fantastic show, first of all, and you are just part of our day.
You're a good, good man. All right, now I have prizes for you, Peter, if you can stump Adam Hoge. What is your question?
Well, I'm wondering, in watching many football games in my last 60 years or so, when they come up to the line of scrimmage on offense, I usually see the center usually throwing his hand up and pointing and yelling or something before the ball is snapped. I'm wondering what's happening there. What is that?
All right, now hold on 1 second. We'll get you an answer. Now, Adam Hogue, you know my rule was no football questions, but because Peter's a fan and such a good guy, I'm breaking that rule, and we're going to claim this is just a question about emotional breakdowns. So when a center is waving his arm around, what's that about?
So they are identifying the mic point. And what that means is they're aligning their offensive line protection. So basically, off the mic point, every single offensive lineman knows which person they're supposed to be blocking.
I don't remember that in the 80s. When did that start?
Well, I think Jay Hildenberg. I always remember him doing that squat and then looking and pointing. So I feel like that might have been there.
I feel like they had to be a rule change at some point, though, yeah, because once the center touched the ball and set the ball, you couldn't move.
Go to your football historian here, Dave Bennett.
Yeah. Dave, remember when you were wearing a leather helmet? Could you move your hand like that as a center?
Well, back then you could, but basically there were no rules. It was the wilderness.
And the mic point is Mike Ditka? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes,
the
they always point out where Mike Ditka is on the field.
All right,
at
just
every
making
play.
Sure. I got an app gift card. I've got an app gift card. I do. Not no more. Not no more, because Peter has it. Peter just won the app gift card, along with a gift certificate to Golf Center of Des Plaines and a pizza from Lou Malnati's. You know what? Let's give him a Make America Vote Again hat, too. He gets a Make America Vote Again hat as well. And Adam Hogue, thank you. Where do we read your latest blog?
WGNradio.com/bears.
Okay, and it's all about love. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Doc Emmerich coming up. I'm not exaggerating when I say Doc Emmerich is the Vin Scully of hockey.
Yes, he is.
What's the football equivalent? He's the Pat Summerall. Oh, Pat Summerall really wasn't. I mean, he's pregnant.
No, he's good. I would. Thank you.
What about hoops? Was there a hoops guy?
Well, it'd be Marv Albert.
Is that Marv Albert? Well, except that Marv's got that biting thing.
Yeah. That's right.
Doc Emmerich is the Doc Emmerich, is who he is.
Yes, he is.
There you go.
Vin Scully's the Doc Emmerich of baseball. Hey.
That's it. What you just said.
Ding. White lightning. See? I'm on
that. Nice.
Just a little late.
He also had said that yesterday he was happy he wasn't joining us because he doesn't have a good Chicago accent.
Oh, right.
Sure. Listening to the accent.
Well, we'll ask him a couple of questions, see if where he goes to eat his beef.
Yeah.
When he last time he was in studio, he brought us a bunch of candy, Justin.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Like a lot of old-fashioned candies.
Yeah. I got a Charleston Chew. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Not everyone can say that.
Not related to the chart that I brought up earlier.
That's
not related.
Hey, Steve Gazanich, Mr. Science. There's no other place to talk about this, so let me just bring it up here. A giant rectangular iceberg has broken off another piece of ice. It's calved as an iceberg, and it's perfectly rectangular. Google this. Google rectangular iceberg, and you'll see what I'm talking about today. It's just a fascinating picture. Mr. Science, your thoughts?
Let's see. Rectangular iceberg.
I see it.
Yeah. That's...
It looks like an IKEA.
It doesn't look completely rectangular.
It's pretty good, though.
It's pretty good, though.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Boy, I have no thoughts on that. It looks like somebody cut this thing out of the ice.
Doesn't it?
Yep. I would say aliens. Ancient aliens.
Yeah. It's funny you say that because that's a conspiracy theory. Another thing we didn't have time for, Julian Assange. You familiar with Julian Assange?
Yeah.
Julian Assange has been living in the Ecuador embassy in London for many years because he didn't want to face charges that were sexual assault related. There is also an outstanding warrant for his arrest as soon as he walks out of the embassy. London as well. The sexual assault charges were dropped a couple of years ago, but he's still in the embassy. Ecuador was trying to kick him out by cutting off his internet and also threatening to make him leave because he wasn't taking care of his cat. Now, Julian Assange, who has been harbored by the Ecuadorian government, is now suing Ecuador.
Isn't this like suing your parents for kicking you out of the basement?
Exactly.
Emancipation.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. I hope he loses. Appeals and loses again. The ungrateful creep.
Why isn't he taking care of his cat?
Yeah, take care of your stupid cat. You won't have any troubles. Ridiculous.
It sounds like it.
You are going to take care of the headlines. Are we doing that now? I've lost track already. We got another quick break? We'll come back with your headlines in just a moment. And then then the guy who Vin Scully most wanted to be when he was doing baseball, Doc Emmerich, will be coming up on 720 WGN.
That one gloved down by Erickson. Builder to him now. And Nyquist, oh my, he's run into by Bolden. Right back ahead comes Seabrook with a shot. He scores!
There are obviously games where the Hawks have done better and games where they're not so good. There are games, if you're like me and you're an NHL fan, you're watching where you go, I have no interest in either team. But you'll watch if it's Doc Emmerich doing the call. Doc Emmerich makes every game better. I'm not saying this because he's my friend. I'm saying it because it's true. And he joins us now where he apparently has fled the country because the law is after him. Good morning, Doc.
Made it across the bridge again. I'm in Canada. Good morning, Steve. Did you guys ever get it together on your lottery? Were you going to pitch in and buy a ticket?
Yeah, we bought tickets, but there's a real viciousness to the staff. I can't really trust them. Dave's the only guy I can count on.
Okay, well, before I left Michigan, I bought one for you, and I'll photo it and send it to you, and it's not mine. If you hit this one, all you owe me is $2.
Well, I'll give you the $2. Great. How about $2 and a trust fund for the puppies?
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
They'll eat it up in treats in one day.
Now, Doc, is this ticket for all of us, or is it just for Steve?
Yeah, well, I'll send it to you, Mary, because I've got your cell phone number. I'll take a picture and send it to you, and then you decide how you divide it up. How's that?
Thank you very much, Doc.
I like how you figured out who's really in charge. All right, so welcome to another NHL season. How many now? Give me the number. How many years?
NHL 39, and overall, counting the 7 years of riding buses, 46.
How about
that? I wouldn't trade the 7 years for anything. You got a lot of great stories from those years.
Did you ever write a book about the minor league days? I bet that'd be a great book.
No. I've toyed with it, and I've started to write chapters and all of that. Someday, maybe it'll all come out. But a quick story, and here's just an example. Adam Clendenning, who at one time was in the Hawks system, told me a story about playing for Rockford, and they were going to play the Wolves, not very far away from you there.
Sure.
They left Rockford, and all of a sudden, they notice smoke coming from the back of the bus. The bus catches fire. They pull off to the side of the road, and they radio back to Rockford, and they send there is a bus that is leaving Rockford that is taking a bunch of what you would call civilians to O'Hare and dropping them off for their flights going mm-hmm. from Rockford. Mm-hmm. So this bus leaving Rockford pulls off to the side of the road. Fortunately, all of the equipment has already gone ahead to Rosemount. And so they pull off the side of the road, they take on the Rockford Ice Hogs, and they roll through O'Hare and drop everybody off, and then they take them right over to conveniently to the arena after. No harm, no foul. But those are the stories that you oftentimes get.
Oh, sure. That's fantastic.
Sure, they had to stop at Terminal 1, 2, 3, and 5.
Exactly. They look and,
that's it.
Yeah, they look and go, how close are we to puck drop? Dave, say hi to Doc.
Doc, good morning. Good to talk to you.
Isn't it good to be a season ticket holder out there at Ryan now? My goodness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, things have been very...
You got Wisconsin coming in, and then you got Notre Dame.
Yeah,
for the first
buddy.
1976?
They're 1976. They're not looking ahead to that quite yet, though, because this is a huge game on Saturday against Wisconsin. But have you had a chance to get any kind of initial impression of the Blackhawks here after 3 weeks or so?
I've seen four of the games. I watch quite a bit when I'm not working, and I've seen four of the games. And of course, the games on the road have gone a little differently than the ones at home. And October is, you get false positives and false negatives in October from a lot of the teams. And that's why it's difficult to put a finger on this. There have been two disastrous second periods in a row for the Blackhawks lately. And the one that, of course, has been talked about where the large number of shots allowed was 34, and then it was taken down to 33.
Right.
During the intermission the other night. But I think this is going to settle eventually, and then we'll get a better idea of what the real Hawks are like.
Right.
Are they the team that the prognosticators said were going to finish seventh in a division of seven teams, or are they going to be the guys that we've seen with DeBrincat
and Taves and Kane having sensational starts this year and leading them through some overtime victories, where are they going to be? And I think it's too early to say. But I think tonight's game is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Because in 31 teams, the Anaheim Ducks have the fewest shots taken and the greatest shots allowed. And the Chicago Blackhawks are right behind them in the greatest number of shots allowed, which tells me there's going to be a lot of offense if you follow those statistics. The one other thing is that the Ducks lead their division, strangely enough, with a record of 5-3-1. So despite the fact they don't shoot much and they give up a lot of shots, they're on top of their division. And the reason for that is their goaltender, John Gibson, who is stopping 95% of the shots, and he's got a goals against average below .200. And on Saturday night, after they lost to Vegas, he called out his team. So we have all of this that is sort of going around with Anaheim as they come to United Center tonight. So that's not going to be dull.
Yeah, Doc, we mentioned the Central Division. Man, the Predators are 7-1. The Avalanche are 6-1-2. I mean, there is a lot. The Jets are in there. The Wild. I mean, this is the toughest division in hockey. Do you feel like the Blackhawks, because of their experience, can measure up to some of these teams that are just off to great starts?
Well, yes, they can. But I think, you know, the concern has always been the defense, not the goaltending, and the depth of defense, and also the depth of forwards going back and checking and playing defensive hockey. And that is something that we haven't seen yet. We've seen some high-scoring games, which don't tell you a whole lot about the defensive commitment. And, of course, you guys have Coach Q on, and I'm sure he's harping about that. I did hear the one morning when I was in Washington on a Wednesday morning, and that's a constant theme, and it's going to be, because that you don't win without effective defense. The good thing is Crow's okay.
Right.
And that's a huge bonus. Boy, what a shrouded question mark that was over the Blackhawks season. And Cam Ward was stalwart in the second period when they were just overwhelmed. I don't know what we're going to see tonight, but one way or the other, it's going to be intriguing to watch, because these are two teams that do have the capacity to give up a lot of chances, and chances mean exciting hockey. Whether the coaches like it or not, there should be a lot of excitement.
Yeah, Cam Ward, you know, he would readily admit he's missed a couple he should have had, but he has been under attack in every game he's been in. And I'm still excited about him being on this team, because I think he's a great addition. All right, so let me ask you about a couple other things. You're in Winnipeg, I assume, for the Toronto-Winnipeg game tomorrow night?
Yes.
These could be...
And that should be a lot of fun. It's not often that a U.S. network televises two Canadian teams. I was searching in my memory bank the last time I did one of those, and that was Quebec and Montreal in the fall of 1988 what was called Sports Channel America.
Wow.
And that was that was something that was shown in Chicago. There was a Sports Channel affiliate in Chicago, and Pat Foley and Dale Talon did the games on it back then.
Is that right?
But that was the last time. It doesn't happen very often now, but NBC Sports Network is committed to showing the best players and to diversifying greatly all of the teams in the league, because there are star players everywhere now.
Yeah, and the Wednesday game is a big night, which is why Doc's doing it. Now, Toronto-Winnipeg, the Blackhawks have to get by both of those teams. I mean, just Toronto-Winnipeg, that could be a preview of the Cup. Of course, I dislike both teams immensely.
Yeah, it could be. And you have two of the all-time, you know, best players that are young players in the league now, and Patrick Laine and Austin Matthews. Matthews born in the States, Laine born in the Scandinavia, as so many of the wonderful players that we see now are. At the start of the season, we had 43% from Canada now. And that's one of those statistics that had always, well, when I first got involved in hockey, it was well over 95.
How about that?
But because of so many wonderful United States and European players now, the United States contribution is 26% and Europe the rest. And so we have these players coming from all over the world making this such a wonderful sport.
We will be watching on NBC Sports Net. Sandberg?
So, Doc, I'm sure you know that Eddie Olczyk received the Ace Bailey Award of Courage, I think, last night or the night before. And
yes.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, no. Any award that he receives, he deserves, especially from all that has faced him and all that he has triumphed over.
Yep.
With the help of prayers of so many people like yourselves over this past year, yes. And ironically, it's Toronto and Winnipeg, and I was just figuring out he scored 95 goals in his time at Winnipeg and 116 with Toronto, 77 for the Hawks.
How about that? God. I didn't know that. Wow, look at you. And you were saying?
No, I'm just the Ace Bailey was he died on September 11th, but his impact as a teammate was, that's what the whole award is about.
Okay.
Doing something beyond just being the star, you know, and that's what
he's
taken on here.
Well, that certainly describes Eddie. Yeah,
he's,
without a doubt.
So
active in your community there and communities wherever he's been. When I first met him in Toronto, his nickname was the Governor. They don't have governors. I think they have governor generals in Ontario, but they don't have governors. But his nickname was the Governor because he was always meeting people, shaking hands, and being polite. And if you've ever met any one of his four children, they're all the same way.
I told Eddie, I'll let you go, Doc, but I told Eddie, you know, once he found out he was beating it and the fight had continued, of course, I said, listen, you're not going anywhere. A guy who loves life as much as you do, you're not going anywhere. And he's right back to prime, shaking hands, smiling,
yep.
Talking to everybody. He's a good man. And so are you, my friend. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you. At 6:15 this morning, I was hearing you talk about taking AG out to get a cookie.
Yes, Abigail
so
Grace and I had
Tim Hortons, I got a peanut butter cookie, not one of those oatmeal ones, and I put my hands up to my face and said, she's right, these are delicious.
That makes my entire family's day. You're the best, Doc. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, talk to you soon. I would love to see Doc Emmerich doing the Home Alone face saying, these are delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break. We're back with Bill and Wendy shortly on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Here's your Google assignment of the day. Look up Lieutenant Joachim Ronnenberg. That's J-O-A-C-H-I-M, Ronnenberg with two N's. An amazing, amazing story from history that I certainly didn't know. Maybe you did. Passed away this week at 99. Bill and Wendy are in studio, but not yet. I mean, they're here, but they're not on yet. So Wendy and Bill coming up. Stand by. They're right there, but they're not on yet. Covered that? Okay. Got to hear something before we go. Bill and Wendy, this is for you as well. We have not heard this yet. This is Governor Rauner's. This is a new commercial for Governor Rauner.
Yeah.
Not making any of this up.
Yes.
This is a wedding of sorts between J.B. Pritzker and Mike Madigan and the preacher performing the wedding. This is just out today?
Just out now, yeah.
Just out now. None of us have heard this. Listen.
Repeat after me. I, Mike Madigan, take you, J.B. Pritzker, as my unlawful partner in destruction to raise property taxes, corrupt government, and bankrupt Illinois' future.
Done. Deal.
And I, J.B. Pritzker, take you, Mike Madigan, to honor and obey till death do us part.
Always have, always will.
By the power vested in me, I now pronounce Illinois.
Mike Madigan and J.B. Pritzker, an unholy union Illinois can't afford.
Subtle.
And that is paid for by Rauner for Governor?
Rauner for Governor. And very interesting, too, because when you watch the actual clip, he does, he mouths the word.
Oh, it's clear what the word is. Clear what the word is.
And this is, and Rick Pearson just wrote up a story about it, and it may be the first time in Illinois, but maybe in the country, that the F word has been bleeped. In a political campaign.
Not in a political action
not
committee.
Not an FBI,
not a PAC.
Wiretape, not a, but this is something that is brand new to politics. And not I don't know what this means 2 weeks out that you would go to this length.
I am so proud.
Yeah, aren't you?
I am.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. You guys are on now. Follow that.
Steve threw down the gauntlet.
He did.
Yeah.